Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Okay, so today we're going to be looking at Siman Yud, the 10th chapter of the book of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to be looking at the halachas of Tfilin. He places this over here because this is now following tzitzis. It's relating to the things that are done, the mitzvahs done in the morning. This is a mitzvah incumbent upon men. And we're going to break up the halachas into two sections because it is a longer siman. It's a longer chapter. There are essentially eight concepts that are going to be looked at. We're going to look at the first four in our part one section. Our concepts that we're looking at today are number one, what are the tefillin? Number two is the time for wearing the tefillin. Number three, the place for wearing tefillin. And number four is how to put on tefillin itself. So concept number one, what are tefillin? The Torah tells us four times to wear tefillin. The two last paragraphs in Parshas Bo after leaving Mitzrayim, and the two paragraphs of Kriyas Shema, which is why we have four paragraphs which are written in a scroll inside the actual boxes of the tefillin. The Torah tells us that it's meant to be a sign on the arm and a totafos, which is a hard word to understand, but some sort of insignia between the eyes. So a few basic questions. What does the word tefillin actually mean? The Kisra explains that it comes to the word pelila, which means judgment and testimony. It is a testimony to the divine presence, which is with the nation of Israel. As the Pasuk says, that when the nations of the earth will see you wearing the tefillin, then they will have fear, they will respect you. You're wearing Hashem's name, and that's what's seen on the tefillin. This is why the tefillin shel rosh should be uncovered, the one that's worn on the head should be uncovered, whereas the one which is on the arm is more of a private one that's by one's heart. Now, number two, what should one be looking for when buying tefillin? So it's important to find a seller or who is a Yerei Shemaim, a person who fears heaven, and it should be a known person because there are certain requirements which a regular pedestrian does not necessarily know about, but one has to rely on the fact that the sofer is in fact doing the correct job. What are tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam? We all hear about this, but what does that mean? So the truth is there's a dispute between Rashi and his grandson Rabbeinu Tam as to the order of two of the parashios in the Kriya Shema. We paskin like Rashi. However, there are certain segments of the community, certain Hasidic segments of the community, Chabad is one of the most famous ones for doing this, that tries to also do the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. And they have a second set of tefillin, which I'll put on at the second half of davening as well to fulfill their mitzvah, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. What should one be thinking when one puts on tefillin? So, first of all, one must know what tefillin are for, because the Torah says, "Leman tier Torah sashem beficha," that the Torah should be in your mouth. So it's one of the mitzvahs where a person needs to know what they're doing. Now, I acknowledge, as the Kitzur points out, the Yichud of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem in the world. That means that there's no place which is a vacuum from Him. And number two is that He acts through the language of history. And that's why we commemorate it as Hashem acting through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And by placing these ideas on one's arm, one's head, and facing one's heart, we are trying to regulate our actions, our thoughts and our feelings as well. Notice that we start from the easiest to the hardest. We regulate first actions, behavioral therapy. Then we regulate our thoughts, which is cognitive theory therapy. And then there is the facing the heart, which is we try to guide the emotion through the course of action and thought. Concept number two is what the time for wearing the tefillin. The Torah tells us, Vayol, in the end of Parshas Bo, that there will be for you a sign on your hands and a remembrance between your eyes, in order to Hashem's Torah should be in your mouth, and this should be kept at its right time, on days, which means to say that it needs to be worn during the day. When is the earliest time that a person can wear the tefillin? It's from the point called Mi Sheyakir, similar to Tzitzis, which is from the moment, it's a time between dawn and sunrise when one can place one's tefillin at that point. What goes on first and why? So first the talis goes on and then the tefillin, which is the reason for that is because the talis is tadira. It happens more frequently. It happens 7 days a week, whereas the tefillin only happens 6 days a week because it's not worn on Shabbos. And also because the tefillin are more holy, because it has Hashem's name on it as opposed to the talis, so therefore it is placed second. So we build up in Kedusha. Now, what if one reaches the tefillin first? So one reaches into the talis bag and reaches the tefillin before reaching the talis, then one would have to put the tefillin on because there's a concept called Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. You do not bypass a mitzvah when one has the alternative of putting it on first as well, which means to say that one should arrange it in such a way that the tefillin are going to be touched or reached, the talus is going to be reached first, and one does not bump into one's tefillin, necessitating doing it in that order. Why is it that we do not wear it all day? If it's supposed to be worn all day, why do we not wear it all day? And the truth is, we'll see a little later, is that one has to have a refinement of thought when wearing the tefillin, and it has become harder for men to have that refinement throughout the course of the day, so therefore it is kept on for the davening of Shachris. Now, concept number three, and that is where one wears the tefillin. The Torah tells us that the tefillin are placed on l'oisa yodokha, a sign in your hand, and a totafos, or a zikaron, means some sort of sign or memory between one's eyes. Few questions. Which hand does it go on? So the Torah tells us that it goes al yodcha, on your hand. And one of the times this is said is spelled with the in the following way, yud dalad chav hey, which means to say is actually an acronym the Gemara understands of yad keha, the weaker hand. So it's on the weaker hand. For most people, that is the left hand. Where on the arm does it actually go? So it goes on the bicep, because it says it has to, the Torah tells us that it needs to be the sometimes these matters should be placed by your heart. So it's worn by the bicep on the left hand side, which is facing inwards towards the heart as well. It needs to be on the lower half of the bone between the shoulder blade and the elbow. So that if you divide that into two, it needs to be on the lower half, but actually on the area where the muscle is as well, which is why the Kitzur says tefillin shouldn't be too big, because otherwise it won't fit into that area. Where does the tefillin shel rosh go? So tradition teaches us that it needs to be above the hairline and in the center, because this is ben enechot. Doesn't mean not mean to say literally between the eyes, but it means to say in the center of the head, and it can go as far back as the place b'makom rosh shaltinok roi face, which means to say when a child is born, their head is soft. That area, the skull has to still grow. That's the area where the tefillin is placed, in that area where we had to grow our bones when we were babies and infants. Next question, what if it isn't in the right place? In that case, if it's too far forward, if the tefillin are leaning too far forward, or it's to the side, one does not fulfill the mitzvah. Not only does one not fulfill the mitzvah, one is saying a bracha levatala, which is why it's important to have them sized and to be aware of this, which is why most tefillin come with mirrors these days to check this out. Not just self-preening in the morning, this is about making sure it's not too far down, it's not too far to the side as well. What happens if I'm a left-handed person? So left-handed men, whether they're born or habituated as such, wear their tefillin on their right arms, because that is their yad keah, that is their weaker hand. What if I use both my right and left hand? So if a person is ambidextrous, then in that case, they would wear it on their left hand. However, if a person does everything with their right hand, but they do their writing with their left hand, we follow the writing hand, which is their left hand, and it would be placed on their right hand in that situation as well. Of course, unless a person was born right-handed, just taught themselves to write with their left, in that case, that's insignificant, and it's still considered right-handed. What happens if I'm a left-handed person and there's only a right-handed tefillin available? So this happens, let's say you have a right-handed young man, misses school, has tefillin at school, comes to shul, wants to put on tefillin, the set in the shul is only a left-handed tefillin. So everything is good. The only issue is that the little knot, which is next to the tefillin shel yad, which is in the shape of a yud, needs to be facing the heart. So on a right-handed person's tefillin, that is on the left side of the box, so it would face the heart. But if that's put on the right hand, is now facing outwards. That's a problem. So two options. Either one can take off the straps of the tefillin and restring it so that it's now facing inwards. Or one can take the tefillin and flip it 180 degrees so it's on the right hand with a ma'abarta, where the strap goes facing upwards so that the knot is facing in towards the heart, and put it on, it seems like backwards, but this way it would be preferable so that the knot, the yud, is facing the heart. Finally, last section, last concept we're going to deal with now is how to put on the tefillin. 11 basic questions over here is how should they be taken out of the their cover, so they cannot be shaken out onto the table. That's disrespectful. They need to be taken out as well, and they need to be held by the batim, by the actual squares, the boxes, not by the straps. You can't hold it, because that's disrespectful as well. What position should I be in when I'm putting them on? Standing in Ashkenazic tradition. So I didn't put it on sitting. What brachas are said? So before putting on the tefillin shel yad, the one on the hand, one says the bracha of lehaniach tefillin, to place the tefillin. This bracha actually goes on both the shel yad and the shel rosh. Then one puts seven rings down the arm and wraps it around that one's hand, not finishing up the hand yet. Then one places the other tefillin shel rosh above the head and says al mitzvahs tefillin, the second bracha, and one says baruch shem kavod malchus olam v'ed. Why do we say baruch shem? So the Ashkenazic tradition is to say the second bracha on the shel rosh, but it is a debate in the Gemara, and therefore the Sfarim did not say it, and the Ashkenazim acknowledge that there's a second shita by saying the baruch shem kavod, so it should not be a bracha levatala as well. Very unusual that it's institutionalized as such. What if I reach the tefillin shel rosh first? I stick my hand into my tefillin bag and bring out the tefillin shel rosh. In this case, we do not say en ma'avirin al mitzvah, so we do not bypass the mitzvah, because the Torah specifically says in the pasuk uksharetem oisam lois al yadech al yadchem, it says first you should tie them on your arms and then on your head. So you cannot do that. You have to put it aside, which is why it's best to arrange it in such a way that one hits the shel yad first. Next question, can I put the tefillin on something on the arm or the head? So let's say I have a sleeve there, I have a watch there, I'm wearing a bandana. No, you cannot have a chatzitza, it needs to be directly on the hair, the head, directly on the arm. What about the hair? Well, if the hair is regular length, that's fine. But if one's growing one's hair out, not only is that a non-Jewish practice, but it also, it constitutes a chatzitza and is a problem for the tefillin as well. Since there are two brachas, can I speak between the two tefillin? Because aren't they two separate mitzvahs? The answer is no, because the bracha of la'aniach tefillin, the first bracha, actually goes on both of them. And if one cannot interrupt anything for anything, not even to hear say amen, not even to say yeshmer rabba, certainly not to talk to anybody else between the two tefillin, the placing of the two tefillins. What if I by mistake interrupted and I did respond to somebody, somebody greeted me and I said hi, just between the two, between the two tefillin. In that case, one has invalidated the first bracha. One needs to make the bracha of la'aniach again, move the shel yad a little bit to adjust it, so the bracha is now on that new placement. Then say the mitzvah or the bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin and place the shel rosh. What happens if I only have a tefillin shel yad? So let's say that that's the only tefillin I have available to myself. Am I allowed to put it on? The answer is yes. The tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are considered two separate mitzvahs. And therefore, if I only have a tefillin shel yad, I'll place it on and say the bracha of laniach tefillin, and that's it. How, what happens if I only have a tefillin shel rosh? In that case, yes, one same thing. It's two separate mitzvahs. But in this case, I would say both brachas, laniach and al mitzvahs, because the shel rosh is more important. And I would say both the brachas in this case. This happens not only if, let's say, I'm in a situation where I only have one of those tefillin, but in a situation where a person is, let's say, injured on their arm or on their head, rachman al-etzlan, and they have a bandage, they have a cast, and they cannot put the tefillin on that area. In such a situation, it would be sufficient to be able to say the to put the one on, because they are considered independent mitzvahs and with the bracha permutation as we just discussed it. This concludes our first section of tefillin. We'll continue with this in the next section tomorrow. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.